time we got together, what did we talk about?
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones should we talk about?
1 through 4.
1 through 4. And they have to do with?
Honoring God and no one else.
Our relationship with God.
Yes.
So it's telling us, how can we have a good relationship with God? And the do's and don'ts that you will be prone to take, you know, so you can choose to do it His way so that we can have that relationship. Because God desires to have a relationship with us. He loves us. Be exact, I believe He made us because He wanted somebody to love. And so God loves us. And sometimes we get confused because we don't love ourselves at times, or we don't love what somebody else is or does. But God loves us even when we don't do it right. That's the good news.
Amen.
And so it's important that we learn to love God and know His ways so that we'll have the best life we can have. So His ways, one of the things I love about God is anything He asks me or you to do, it's for our good, not His. You know, it's just like worship. The reason He wants us to worship Him is because we are reminded of who He is so that we can know Him and draw closer to Him. His ego doesn't need to be built. God is okay with Himself already. And so even with our worship, when He says, I want you to worship me, He's wanting us to worship Him so that we will be reminded of who He is and how He operates. So it's always for our good that He does it. So we left off with verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12.
20?
Yes.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
Okay. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother?
To obey them, to give them.
To obey them? That's one way you can honor them.
Well, it's a big thing that goes around. It's just like, well, if they were abandoned by their parents, you're supposed to still honor. So it's just regard the people who brought you into the world, regardless of what they do, and okay. Just respect that they gave you life together, and you're supposed to be here to honor the Father.
Okay. To honor is to place value upon. And by the way, it is the position, not the person. Okay? So, our parents are the authorities until we become an adult. But when it's saying to honor them, it's saying show value to your mom and dad. Even in their old age, by the way, he talks in the Word about that. In their old age especially. Remember that. I'm an old man now. I'm not your dad, though. and so, but it's really important because God says it will determine how long we as mankind will exist on the earth. Okay? And so if we honor the position regardless of their behavior, we honor the position. So unless they ask to do something that's contrary to what God says, it's important we honor them. Okay? And so it's to place value on that position. And so God is trying to create order. And He's saying, if you're going to have order, you need to honor those who are in authority. Show value to them and do what they say unless they ask you to do something that's sinful. And so even when they're old, one of the people that I greatly admire is Joyce Meyer. One of the reasons I admire her, when her parents got so old they couldn't take care of themselves, couldn't afford to take care of themselves, God told her to buy a home for them and take care of them. And even though her dad had sexually abused her all her young years, she honored her father's position and went and loved him because he was her father, just as God said, in spite of what he had done. The cool thing was, she had to let God do a work in her in order for her to do that. And any time we let Him do a work in us, we become freer. And so one of the things that happened as a result of her doing that was she became freer. But more than that, in the process of doing it, her father one day asked her mom to have her come over. And when she came over, her father said to her, "I am sorry what I did to you. Will you please forgive me?" It only happened because she did life God's way, in spite of what he had done. And the cool thing is, he'll be in heaven. She said, actually, from that point on, he used to be a very profane person, and he didn't use profanity anymore. And he said, so I knew something happened in his heart, that she had given God that place in his heart. So, in that case, she honored her father even though he was a wicked man and violated her. And so it's talking about the position. And so sometimes I like talking to teens about this, because as parents, you know what? Sometimes we don't do it right. Mm-hmm. I didn't always do it right. And it's really important that they understand you honor the position in spite of how your parents may be wrong. And so God's saying, so if you want to have a good life on this earth, honor parents, and the earth will flourish and do well. So he starts off talking about relationship, interestingly, establishing the family. So that's why he says, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long. All right. Any of you ever struggle with that, by the way?
Well, he's gone now. There's not much I can do about it.
There you go. Well, it's nice you don't have to struggle. However, you take, like, if you don't deal with it while they're alive, as you go through the rest of your journey, God is wanting to free you up more and more. It's a lot harder to deal with it when they're dead than it is when they're alive. And so I encourage you, when God deals with you and he's saying, hey, I want this relationship to go one step closer to what I intended it to be, that we, like Joyce, are obedient to God in spite of all of that.
Yeah, I've never understood that verse in this way, but I had come to, through counseling and various different things, to where I could love my father because he was my father.
Yeah, okay.
But I do not love him.
Well, you honored him. You didn't necessarily even love him. You honored him. There's a difference between honor and love.
Because when they continued and told me that he had passed, of course they wanted me to go to Indiana. And I said, yeah, and? There was no, at that point, I mean, Angel was just born at that point. I wasn't anywhere near where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In my walk, and... Right. You know, sometimes I look back at it and I'm like, because again, as an adult, he tried me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do I, I can't fix it, he's gone.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's easier to do it while they're alive. However, you can fix it, because forgiveness is a thing in our heart. Okay? And you can't change them, but you can change your attitude towards them. And forgiveness is a key to our freedom, because God says, if you don't forgive others their debts, I won't forgive you yours. And so it's really important that we forgive.
Absolutely.
But it sets us free. God's not doing it because he's a big bad man. He's saying, listen, if you want to have a good life, forgive.
Yeah.
And honor that position, that there will be stability. And of course, in our culture is pretty sick. Okay? Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that aren't how God intended. Mm-hmm. However, we don't have to let that stop us from doing what God tells us to do. And so, even with your father, if he's dead, God will continue to want you to get freer and freer by forgiving every time he speaks to you and directs you. You get freer and freer, and your life will get better and better. And so my encouragement to people is, and Joyce set a very good example, because that's a real challenging situation to go and take care of them, but she did it because God said to.
Mm-hmm.
and she honored the position, not his behavior, not who he was. And in the end, he became honorable because his behavior changed from what it was before. Mm-hmm. So when God says that, that's what he's saying is, if you want to have a good life, then do that God's way.
And, you know, even though that was happening at the time, you know, God uses all things for the good of those.
He knows how to turn it around.
And when I had gone to Indiana, that man that I went up there, he had, was dying from renal failure. He was the pastor of the church I went to as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And he became my father for years.
Mm-hmm.
He was my best friend's father.
Cool.
And so that was very important.
Yeah. Good.
And him and I got to discuss it. So I can look at the whole thing regarding my natural father,
mm-hmm.
as a way to help others,
mm-hmm.
because I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the important.
But God, yes. still gave me someone to,
sure.
be as a father,
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it wasn't good, but he made it good by how he worked it out.
He still knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. Okay, we are on verse 13.
You shall not murder.
Okay, I like your version. What version is yours? Yours is a New King James. Okay, New King James. My Bible says, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between kill and murder?
Murder is preemptive.
Murder is what?
Intentional.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Intentional.
Okay. More than intentional.
Is it preemptive?
Okay. It is moved by hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, because if it really meant thou shalt not kill, that means we shouldn't kill the cow so we can have hamburgers.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not what it means at all.
No.
Thank God. I like hamburgers.
I like hamburgers. Thou shalt not kill even a pedestrian steps in front of you.
Should I write that in mine? Because mine says thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
But it's really, thou shalt not murder. Because murder is driven by bitterness, hatred, resentment, and unforgiveness. And so once again, God says, don't kill somebody out of your anger, hatred, and resentment. However, if somebody's coming to try to kill you, we are allowed to kill, because we are called to protect ourselves and protect our family.
That's not murder, though.
No, it's not murder. It is kill. Okay? Murder is, the spirit behind it is what makes it right or wrong. So in war, we have a responsibility to protect our nation and our families. And so it's okay to kill the people who are trying to kill you. But when you're bitter and hateful and resentful, don't kill them. Maim them. No, I mean, I'm sorry.
Injure them a lot.
Seriously. Yeah. I didn't see that command in your
pen. That's the Roy McKinney version. Okay, so basically, it's thou shalt not murder. Let's go on.
You shall not commit adultery.
Okay, what is adultery?
Sex outside of marriage.
Okay. Any sexual act with somebody you're not married to, okay? So, when it's talking about in our culture, we're all messed up, so you have to be a lot more specific. In the past, you wouldn't think anything of it. But it's any sexual act outside of a person you have a lifetime commitment to would be adultery or fornication, really. The word is fornication. So, God is saying, listen, if you want a good life, get married and be committed to that marriage.
Does that also mean looking at lust? You know,
pardon?
Look, and not actual sexual, but just looking at the
Well, that didn't that was not what Jesus said. He said, it says just that if you do it in your heart, you're committing adultery.
Yeah.
Once again, God takes it further in the New Testament, where he talks about it, and he says, to look upon them and lust after them is the same as doing it. Okay? In this case here, he isn't saying that. All right? But it's interesting, we'll be going to the New Testament tonight if we get through the stuff, and we'll be talking about a few other things about what it says in the New Testament versus the Old Testament.
Okay.
Let's go on.
Because things have changed.
Pardon?
I said things have changed from the Old.
Well, they have. God changed things from the New Testament. And when we look at it, you begin to realize, ooh, that's interesting. And I'll tell you why when we do it. Ready? Let's go on.
You shall not steal.
Okay. What is stealing?
Taking something that's not yours.
Taking that which is not yours. Rightfully yours, by the way. Rightfully. Because you can steal by being dishonest on your taxes.
Yep.
Okay? And there's no money in the immediate. But if you steal, if you lie in your taxes, you're stealing, you're taking money that's not rightfully yours.
Speaking of that.
Oh.
I sat on the phone with the IRS for 2 whole hours yesterday. And I spoke with this person, and this person sent me to this person, and they're like, you need to call this. And I was like, that's who I called. Literally,
sure.
That's what I got. And I finally got a person who was able to say, well, if we don't have any proof, because it was under the table that my husband was working at this restaurant, and she fudged numbers, she didn't report anything to the state, because they're like, unless you've got, like, pay stubs and like bank statements, something, or a note on the boss's letterhead. It's like she does not have letterhead. Then that's what you would get. That's how they can go forward.
Right.
So it's basically at a standstill because this woman is defrauding the state.
Right.
So we're going to be out that tax money.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they go to court. And I don't think that anyone wants to pursue all that because.
Yeah, well, it costs a lot and so on.
Yeah. So
that's the only thing. However, you can ask the IRS if there's anything you can actually do to facilitate that.
I mean, they said and they were like, you can ask. I'm like, I could ask. I'm not the one with the power to audit somebody. Like, why don't you ask her? Like, hey, this is not matching. We need actual documentation. There's not a single pay stub in a whole year of employment to show.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, unfortunately, that's
pretty
messed
up.
But then there's no taxes that were paid from him. Office.
Right.
So you didn't pay taxes in.
Yeah, didn't pay taxes.
Then IRS is going to say,
then you owe us taxes because you never paid.
Because you didn't pay, technically. Yeah.
Well, we're trying to figure out who to contact concerning my wife for where she works. The new people that bought it like 3 years ago or whatever, I have this guy there that is really shady. I mean, when it comes to the finances, everybody's paychecks have been screwed up or in some way or another for a couple of years now, and including Sherry's. But they don't want to lose her. So they've gotten really careful about making sure Sherry's money gets there. But some people aren't getting paid. And there's I've looked online on her stubs, because you don't get a physical stub. And there's all kinds of, you get your regular Social Security, Medicaid, and all that. And then there's about, down below, there's about 5 or 6 different things that nobody knows what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know who to sick on him, because this guy, from what we were told, he was walked out the front door from his previous employment for doing funny things at the books. And it's obvious what's going on here.
Sure.
They have changed ADP or the different pay companies. They've changed like 3, 4, maybe 5 different times.
Ooh, payroll companies?
Yeah, the payroll companies, they switched payroll companies several times, and they're obscuring what they're doing by doing that.
Yeah, sounds scary.
Well, is it?
Don't know who to talk
to. Well, there comes a day. There comes a day. So, thou shalt not steal. That take what is not yours. Let's go on. 16.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Okay. What is a false witness?
A lie.
It's a lie. It's anything, by the way, a lie is anything said with intent to deceive.
Yep.
By the way, when you talk about that, it makes a big difference, because there's time we can say things where they are true, but they're actually the way we said them, they were deceitful.
You know how hard it is to not say something that's not true anymore these days? The way I'm really struggling trying to make sure that I don't, but man, it's hard.
Oh yeah.
And what makes it so hard? You've been doing it, you know, the way we go, you know.
Yeah.
You don't even realize you're doing it. And then I might think about it a month later and I'm like, wow, I didn't tell the truth there, you know.
Well, the Holy Spirit is very
and it's just natural.
I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit, because when I'm even tempted, the Holy Spirit will say, that's a lie.
Yeah.
And what I may be saying may be true, except for I'm saying it the way I say it to deceive somebody, because it's not exactly the way it appears. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that we realize, if you're intentionally deceiving by what you say, the way you say it, you're lying.
Yep.
And it's really important that we repent, that we've lied, that we repent and say, God, help me to be able to speak the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Because, by the way, it can become really addictive. Yeah. There are some people who are habitual liars.
Well,
and they don't, well, they've done it for so long, they've hardened their heart so badly that they don't think a thing of it, because that's a lifestyle. And we don't want to get to that point. When the Holy Spirit convicts us and says, that's not the truth, it's important we say, okay, I need to tell the truth, and say, I'll pay whatever the consequences that are in telling the truth, because God told me, tell the truth.
I'm not that far gone, but, you know, it's just like every day, I mean, and you're doing your daily thing with your wife, even, you might say something that wasn't quite, just to make sure she don't get mad at you. You know,
I'm not gonna go there.
You know what I mean?
I don't know anything.
I don't know nothing about it.
Does that include children and roving?
Hey, I catch her lying all the time. I catch her lying all the time.
Yes, Roby, we're going to the restaurant. Get in the car, Roby.
Lord, no. What do you want me to do there?
I'm pretty fine. Your mom's bringing them. I thought you were. If I wasn't mad.
Well,
I hate you.
Once again, in the situation where Lori's at, I think it's a very challenging. I believe once again, it's a whole other situation.
I've always looked at it's what the intent
that is
within
that's
the
it.
Heart.
Exactly.
And to be honest with you, when I have had to sit there and tell her lies about stuff just to get out of social meltdown in the middle of public,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say,
like,
that's
God forgive me, God forgive me. And I...
Yes. Yes,
and I literally too.
It is,
well, that's the thing, but should you be able to, it is not telling the truth just so you're not hurting somebody else's feelings,
well,
or putting them in
I
a,
I think there's a
you know,
fine line there.
As long
to
as
say
you're
to your wife,
danger.
Yes, I like that dress, if she asks you, and it's really not very becoming to you. I think a guy's a fool to say that. My thing is, dear, I'm glad
well, that's
you like it because I don't.
Well, that's a and, what do you call that?
Unfortunately, I think that becomes a lie when you do that. With Lori's case, with Nairobi, it's a whole other world, and unfortunately, sometimes that's your only way you can get her to do what she needs to do.
And I worked for years with always saying exactly the truth and always saying stuff, but it's just way.
Yeah.
Well, we're dealing with a whole different type of mind that you can't reason
with. You can't. And so,
okay, we'll get French fries. You know, we're going to get French fries tomorrow. We're waiting.
She won't settle down until you agree with her.
Agree with her until time.
Sure.
But,
so personally, I don't feel. However, there's a true testimony. Listen, if the Spirit of God lives in us, and we think about doing evil, He will convict us. Unless you've hardened your heart so hard that you've ignored the Holy Spirit, you've grieved the Holy Spirit, so He no longer is speaking to you. But I believe you and I will know, if we are lovers of Jesus and His Spirit lives in us, we will know if what we just did is wrong. And it's important, if we do, it's important we repent. and ask for God's forgiveness. If we don't, our life falls into disarray. Let's just say you still go to heaven. You're never going to have the kind of life that God wanted for you. Because God wants a good life for us. God intended us to have a good life. And if we will do life His way on His terms, we will have a good life. It doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times from time to time, but we will have a good life. And so I just want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, by the way, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction says what you just did or what you're going to do is wrong. Condemnation says you're worthless, hopeless, good for nothing, and attacks a person, not the behavior. Okay? So if it attacks you as a person, that's Satan. That's not God. That's Satan. And you need to say you're a liar, Satan. And the truth is. But you'll know if Jesus lives in you, you will know. How many of you know? Yeah, we know. Okay, and just like Lori, God will convict her and say, doing that is wrong to Nairobi. Now, if she's doing it to her older daughter, it would destroy their relationship, because when we do life on these terms, we will have good relationships. Okay? So, if she said it to Becky, Becky would not trust her, and so their relationship would be diminished if Lori were lying to her. Okay? And so the thing is, God is telling us how to have good relationships. The first four had to how do we have a good relationship with God? These six tell us how do we have a good relationship with one another. So if you want to be successful in life, if you fail in your relationships, you have failed in life. And your life won't amount to much. So it's really important that we understand conviction from condemnation. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Where are we at? Let's go on. Verse 17.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Okay. What is covet?
To be envious or want something that they have.
To desire what they have. Now, if they have a nice car, are you coveting it if you want to have a nice car too?
No.
No. It's coveting what they possess and what they own or whatever they do. So there's nothing wrong with saying, wow, I like that car, I want to get one like it, that's fine. However, to say, I want your car is a whole new ballgame. And so it says, don't
covet. That's good with cars, but not with wives.
I'll tell your wife just to listen to the So it's important to, because the enemy wants us to not be able to rejoice with others. Okay? I want to go, because it really matters. The enemy doesn't want us to rejoice when somebody else is blessed because you feel like they have an advantage over you. I just want to let you know, when you feel like people have an advantage over you, you need to give that to God. And say, God, if you want that from me, I know you will give me that. Yeah, and I trust you.
There's a whole social movement around that.
What's that?
There's a whole social movement around that.
Is it? Yeah.
People who are just like, well, like race. The whites have an unfair advantage of people of color. Or, privilege. And they're just castigating people because you're white. You have an unfair advantage. It's just like, I'm nowhere. What are you talking about?
And unfortunately, especially in the past, whites had advantage over blacks. That's not nearly
not this
so.
Time. Not this day.
But for a black person to covet, you know what our whiteness is actually them saying to God, God, you didn't do what you did well.
You made a mistake.
By making me black. God never made a mistake. There is nothing wrong with being black. You are no less a person. Maybe a culture may treat you as a lesser person, but you are no less a person. And it's important we don't buy into that whole lie. Okay? If you buy into the lie that somebody has an advantage over you, you'll never be able to rejoice when somebody's blessed.
Yeah.
And what you're really saying is, God, you have not been faithful to me, is what we're really saying. You have not been good to me. You've been good to them, but you haven't been good to me. We all have our moments. We all have our moment in the sun, is what I say. We all have it. And we all go through our difficulties. And so it's really important when the enemy comes along and says, you know, they have an advantage over you. You need to say, I rejoice with them that they have that. Because God, you will give me everything that's good for me. And that's the truth. So when the enemy, because the enemy's going to come along and try to destroy a relationship by telling you that person has an advantage over you, so you're envy or jealous or covetous towards them. It's important you identify as a lie and say, thank you, God, for who you made me to be. Thank you that you'll give me everything I have need of and more, by the way, and more, by the way, and more, okay? Because he'll give us so we can give, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. And when we give, it brings joy if you don't feel like somebody has an advantage over you. Yeah. Okay? So you can't enjoy life, you can't have good relationships as long as you have that concept. They have an unfair advantage over me. Okay? Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so basically that's all it was about, is us learning how to have quality relationships and God saying, here's how to have them. Anybody have any comments or thoughts or... No? Good. I don't know if we'll get to... We can jump back. We covered this next section. We covered this next section because it has a lot of stuff in it. And I'll tell you, I read it. And I'll tell you why I read it. Now, might I confess, when we get into Leviticus and it tells us all about the building of the tabernacle and how big things were and all this kind of stuff, might I say, I trust God with that. He did a good job.
Yes.
And so I don't have to know it all. However, there's a typology there. I study typology in the Bible. And anyway, so you can read that if you want. I don't. However, I like reading this here because God is just. And often we think we are just. Mm-hmm. However, you'll find in some of these things, we'll say, that is not just. Well, let me tell you something. God is just. And I want to be able to think the way God thinks. I want to be just like God is just. And so, therefore, I read some of this stuff. And you'll wonder, well, what difference does it make? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it makes a big difference because when we think with God's mind, we're going to do it God's way. And we will have a good life. When we do life God's way. So we can read on if you would like. There's a few that if you want to read that, I would like to skip all the way to 21 verse 23. Anybody want to cover this other stuff? You read it. The only reason to read it is you'll know true justice is. Okay, and how God sees and thinks. All right, chapter 21.
Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two.
21?
I'm in chapter 21, verse 23.
21?
Yes, chapter 21, verse 23.
But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Hand for hand, foot for foot.
Yeah, I want to stop right there. Basically, he's telling them different things to do. If a slave owner breaks a tooth of his slave, well, then they are to let them go because they broke their tooth. Okay? And it goes on, it tells you all that kind of stuff. Okay? And he says, with anything else outside of this page of stuff, he says, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. A wound for a wound, a strike for a strike. Okay? Where do we find that in the New Testament?
I haven't gotten there yet.
I looked it up. I do know. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5.
Oh, I've read Matthew.
Matthew chapter 5.
Weren't we in Matthew 25?
Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah. James had us all in Matthew.
Okay.
25.
So Matthew chapter 5.
5.
Yes, 5. And I want to read it because Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Because Jesus quotes this very verse. Jesus quotes this very verse. Okay?
You have heard of that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you...
Hold it. Just stop a minute. So basically, you have heard. Where did you hear from? Over here,
yep.
And Exodus, that's what God said, right? God said that, right? He told Moses that.
Yep.
He said, eye for eye, anything else, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Okay, let's go on and see what Jesus says.
It was Matthew 5, what?
Matthew 38.
5. 38.
38 through 48.
Okay.
So now, we are moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Okay? Let's read on.
But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also.
Ooh, just a minute. What happened to a slap for a slap?
It's different. It's changing. Jesus said there's been a revision.
Well, I find it interesting because we were looking before. And he said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, Jesus is saying something very differently.
Yes.
Okay? He's saying, let's go on.
If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also.
What happened to a coat for a coat?
That's not what I mean.
Let's go on.
And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too.
Wow. He's saying, hey, if they want you to go 1 mile, go two, not one. So in other words, all of a sudden you see there's not an, what I call an equity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's go on.
Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. To borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy.
Ooh, go on.
Bless those who curse you.
Oh. Do good to them that hate you.
And pray for
those
who spitefully use you.
Ooh.
And persecute you.
So what is Jesus saying here?
Unconditional love.
Under the New Testament law, or way, whatever term you want to use, covenant is what it really is, okay? In the New Testament, he says, it's different under grace than it is under the law.
Mm. Undeserved favor.
Pardon?
The undeserved favor.
Yeah. What he's saying is,
Jesus,
I want you to be like me. And what I do is I bless those that even do evil. And of course, we quote
the cross while dogs and sinners.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in this case, he's saying, let's go on and read on down through, because I want to get all the way to the bottom of it.
That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good.
Ooh, he's saying God.
Where'd
you
come?
God, verse 45. God takes and lets the sun come up on the evil and the
enemy.
Just alike. That's not fair, is it?
Sure it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where would we be if God didn't treat us?
An eye for an eye.
Yeah, it would be an eye for an eye. We'd be
eyes
a bunch of toothless
yeah.
eye. Okay. And he's saying, listen,
blind people,
yes.
Under this covenant, let's go on, let's read the bottom. I want 48, it's the last verse that's really important, but let's go on.
For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?
Do not even the tax collectors do the same?
Oh, isn't that interesting? He says, hey, if you love those who love you, you're no different than they are. Go on.
And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do you not even the tax collectors do so?
No, you're not any better than the sinners.
Yeah.
However,
therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, but nobody's perfect.
Who? What is he meaning by perfect?
God loves us all, good and bad.
Okay. He says, be like your Father is with you. I hear a lot of people talking about even like tithing, and they say tithing's an Old Testament scripture. Well, here's my question. Under grace, is a standard higher or lower? Much, much, much higher, right?
Yeah.
If they take your coat, give them your other coat. Mm-hmm. If they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Okay? Whatever. And you
love
go
your
all
neighbor
the
way, as yourself.
Yeah, if you love those who love you, you're no different than the world. But be like the Father. Because he loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us and drew us to him and gave us eternal life. When we deserve eternal judgment, God gave us the opposite. And he's saying, hey, I want you to be like me. And so he's taken and saying, under grace, of course, when they talk about tithing, they say, well, under tithing, you know, that's the Old Testament. You should only give 10%. Well, if grace is much higher, then what would it mean?
More than 10%.
You might want to give 20% under grace. Okay? But I find it ironic that people want to just, they're only robbing themselves. So my thing is, if you don't tithe, that's your loss, not mine. Because God says he'll bless what I do, and when I give him what's rightfully his, he will turn around and bless what I have left over. And he will, and I can tell you that for sure. Okay?
In the Old Testament, it said eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, everything like that.
Right.
That was for us with people, because what if God treated us that way?
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, if we, yeah. You know, we did something against God.
Yeah.
If he taught it, if he treated us that way. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Boom.
Yeah.
We gone.
Yeah. and what he's saying
there
is,
there'll be no people in heaven.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to get all the way down to verse 38, because he says, "Be like your heavenly Father is. Love those who are mean to you. Do good for those who do evil to you. Be like the Father." And there is grace to do that if we really do it unto him. We can't do it in our strength, okay? Because our flesh will say, that's not fair.
Your flesh is jumping before
you. I'm sure none of us have ever said, that's not fair. Okay? But he's changed an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, for us blessing those who curse us. So, under grace, the standard is much higher because there is grace to do that. So the good news is, we can do good to those who do evil because we're going to be like the Father. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything to say?
That's what he is telling us.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yes. That under grace, God says there is power and the ability to bless those that curse you, to do good to them that treat you spitefully. There is grace to do that. Why? Because his Spirit's living in us. By the way, he's forgiven us too.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
That's good. Definitely would help to keep that in mind with lots of relationships.
It does.
So even though, like you were saying, those last few testaments were how to deal with each other, even when Jesus repeats them in this way with their revision, mm-hmm. it's still to help us be better with each other.
That's it. Well, and it does. What happens is, if instead of trying to take a tooth for a tooth, I say, I forgive you, you don't have to break your tooth out.
Yeah,
and
it's
and
that gives you
a lot less
freedom. What's that?
And it gives you the freedom.
Such freedom. Yeah. Such freedom.
And then the person who's looking for your tooth is just kind of stuck.
Yeah, well, they are.
Yeah.
They are stuck in their hatred and bitterness and resentment. We are free is the thing. People who live in unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred are miserable people. Okay? However, when we do it God's way, it brings life and life more abundant.
Amen.
Life and life more abundant.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a real challenge, huh? Especially when God says,
have to read it every day.
Joyce Meyer, she was a person, I appreciate her. She had somebody treat her evil. And God says, I want you to go buy a sound system for their church because their sound system was bad. And Joyce went and bought them a sound system and blessed them.
Is that how we ended up with that?
That's how we got it. Yeah, that's how I know.
Okay, who was that? Joyce?
You see, that did her loads of good because it forced her to choose to forgive and act accordingly. You realize when God gives us that opportunity to forgive and act accordingly, it sets us free.
It's a blessing to us.
Yes. Yeah, it's a blessing to us.
When I was living at the church at Center Hill, because I was part of their ministry, they had a foster kid who went to the school that I was a teacher, and the guidance counselor, who is usually, you think of guidance counselors being loving, sweet people. She did not like any of us for whatever reason. She did not like any of us.
Well, what kind of counselor are you?
I know. And so one day for church, or for school the next day, I was baking some apple bread. And the pastor came in, he's like, what are you baking that for? I'm like, I'm baking it for Miss Jackie. And he's like, why? This lady has made her life miserable. I'm like, because I am going to get her, you know? And so about every couple of days, about once a week, I would bring her a baked good. And we kept doing it.
Did you tell them that you were putting Ex-Lax in?
Well, they definitely, I think, a little better, I guess. I don't know. But I mean, it eventually changed
sure. yeah.
the whole situation,
oh, yeah. yep.
the whole dynamics. When I eventually left that school, they ran into her again when they had a high school kid, and she had moved to high school. And I'm like, oh, how did that go? They're like, actually, we don't have a single problem
wow.
anymore.
Wow.
And like, he sort of, like, he didn't want to admit it, but he was sort of like, I think you're the one who started
well,
the
catalyst. The good deed in her.
So.
You sparked it back.
That's right.
You gave her spark back.
With apple bread.
Especially with
awesome.
Your cinnamon roll.
Yes.
So ultimately,
those were amazing.
What we sow, we will reap. And but like with Joyce, she was obedient to God, and it's no coincidence that she is where she is today, because she learned to be like God, and when God spoke to her, to be obedient, to bless your offender. Okay, now, when it comes to judicial law, mm-hmm. which means the federal state law, okay, that this is personal law.
Mm-hmm.
It's our relationship law.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of law is still
eye
for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Isn't that how the Muslim laws too?
Pardon?
Muslim laws like that too.
Okay.
The Muslims,
Muslim law.
Mark.
They believe in
Muslims?
Like that kind of stuff. right?
For the Muslims.
Do they have that same eye for an eye? Do they have that same?
Do they? But
I'm just saying that's what we're asking.
For me, judicial law is, in other words, if our judicial law set up that if you, go 50 miles an hour, you're going to get a $100 fine. Then you get a $100 fine because judicial, it's not relational.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is talking about relationships with you and I, and the people in your life, and the people, your neighbors, your classmates, your others. It's talking about relational law, not judicial. So judicial law, I believe, is still, it is what God tells us the judicial laws. And the laws in our nation were established on the Bible and what God says should happen. Okay? And so understand there's a difference between judicial law and personal law.
He says, if you, do good to those who despitefully use you and all that, you heap coals of fire on their heads.
Yes, you do.
You basically, you're convicting them.
Well, they become convicted because you're doing good to them when they're doing evil to you.
Yeah.
And God will fight your battle. I'm telling you, God will fight your battle. More than that, God will protect you. I can tell stories forever because God has been so faithful in my life. And I've lived this out, and I do live it out, okay? But if you understand that, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't think it a strange thing when he says, I want you to bless them. Like Lori, I want you to buy and make them a cake or whatever the case may be, and don't put XX on it. Okay? And he's saying, what it does is it sets you free.
Yes.
So, amen?
Amen.
All right, who wants to close in prayer?
Father God, we thank you for our time together, your word, your beautiful word that you have given us that I wish more people would read. But we thank you for the reminder of how we're supposed to be treating each other, and it's just the way that you want it to work out in our lives for the best, and we're just trying to lead by example and just keep pointing to you, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep us in your grace and with the ability to do the things that you are pointing us to do.
Yes.
And we'll keep reading your word and going after it, Father God. Please help everyone to get to their destination safely this evening and have a refreshing night's rest. And we'll be back again tomorrow from this angel's class. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.